Hello. How are you? Did you miss me last week? Because I tell you what, I missed y'all. It's busy season. Yep. Life is good. Things are moving in a beautiful forward direction. And sometimes we just can't do everything. Crazy, right? Well, that's what happened last week. So this week, the week before Mother's Day, we are doing two episodes. I'm doing two episodes. I'm flying solo this week. This episode is going to be about wedding consultation process, things I keep in mind, things I know going into it, how we collect that information, etc. And it's going to be great. It's going to be a lot of fun. This is going to be more so oriented to you if you are wanting to get into the wedding industry, but you're not quite sure how to maneuver through the time together, the face-to-face time together with a potential client. So that's what we're going to talk about. Thanks for being here. This is the Between Me and Drew podcast. I'm Drew, believe it or not. I have the honor, privilege, etc., of owning and operating Clara Joyce Flowers, which is a specialty cut flower and foliage farm in northwestern Illinois. We also do wedding and event production. So this process that we're going to talk about is something that I do year round. We never stop booking. We will go through periods of time where we're not accepting any more events for a given season, but we're always continuing with the client acquisition process. So that's what we're gonna do. That's what we're gonna talk about. So without any further ado, let's jump in, shall we? So a little background about my history in wedding and events. When I was in high school, I started working in flower shops in our area. And one of like the training exercises, I guess you could say, was you were basically not thrown into, but you were put on a wedding job, and I figured out how to make bridal bouquets, figured out how to, you know, pick apart a recipe and you know, really make that arrangement look how it was supposed to look based off of inspiration photos, etc. And in the two flower shops that I worked in, I was never part of the process where I was meeting with the clients and discussing, you know, were there specifics they wanted to see? Were they open to seasonality? Did they have a specific style of that they were wanting to see? Kind of that vetting process, we could say. So once I departed the shops and started doing this on my own, I needed to figure out that process. I had had hands-on experience with the actual processing of the floral product and designing and arranging and delivering and setting up and all of those things. But it was that preliminary work, those prerequisites that I didn't have any personal or hands-on experience with. When I started doing weddings on my own, I started off very slow. I think the first year I had one that I did, and then I had like a whole year where they didn't have any. And then it like slowly picked up. Then it was like 6, and then it was 10, and then it was 12, and then 2020, the year that COVID hit, we had I think like 30 or 40 scheduled. And then all of those rolled into 2021. And what we found around here was all of our venues were already booked in 2021 because of the 2020 rollovers. So I think for the 2021 season, we did like 50, I want to say. And then 2022, we had like 65, maybe 67. I don't remember. And then this year, we're right on track with that. So in order for us to be able to do a number of weddings, in addition to everything else that we have going on here with farming and wholesale and propagation and employee management and all of those things, the process behind the events has to be very well streamlined. This is not something that we're ragtagging and piecing together with pieces of notebook paper. This is a very well-oiled machine at this point, you could say. So what that process looks like is something that you could argue is not overly personal, but it's very information forward. I'm very, very fortunate to be geographically in a region where we do have elevated levels of tourism. We are very much a destination for people from Chicago, Madison, Milwaukee, Des Moines, Iowa City. They all come to our area. We have a town here called Galena, Illinois. It's very tourist heavy. And with that comes second homes and lake developments and owners clubs and wedding venues and, you know, all of those things. And we are very fortunate to have good relationships with some of the wedding venues here. And those relationships are where a lot of our clients come from when it comes to wedding work. We're also producing a very lush, consistent aesthetic. It's usually a nice balance between floral color and foliage, very loose, natural, abounding. We don't really do much tight or structured design. So our clients know and expect that for us or from us. Once someone is interested in inquiring more or working with us for their wedding florals, the first thing that needs to happen is we need a submission form or an inquiry form to be completed. That is a link from our HoneyBook account. If you've listened to the earlier wedding episodes, you've heard me talk about HoneyBook before. HoneyBook is a really lovely planning software. It keeps track of all of your communications. You can do contracts. You can do payment plans. You can do proposals. You can do manual invoicing. You can do so many different things through that one platform. And that has been a tremendous tool for our wedding business. When someone completes that inquiry application, once I receive that, which is immediately after they push send, I have the vast majority of the information that I need in order to either figure out if A, we're available for that date, and B, if I want to take them on as a client. So we've collected information like number of bridesmaids, number of groomsmen, location of the event. Is it split location between ceremony and reception? Date, obviously. Couples, contact information, wish lists for ceremony space, wish lists for reception, color palette, vibe. Is there a theme? Is it not themed? All of those little things that really do matter. Once we receive that, then automatically the first thing that we will respond with is, can you please send us some inspiration photos, things from Pinterest, things that you've seen at other weddings, things from Google, however that client has kind of put together their own mood board. That's all very pertinent information that I want to see. Once I receive that, and I've received their submission form, I can very well make a decision on if I want to take them on. Do we mesh well? Are we hoping to achieve a similar design aesthetic? Does it feel like we're going to work well? And then I can respond with, hey, you know, love to work with you. We've got, you know, we're very similar. We're moving towards a parallel or on a parallel path in regards to design and aesthetic and availability. Here's the next step. Next step is I need to talk to these people. I need to figure out, you know, I need to dive in a little bit more on detailing, you know, how many tables are we ballparking? How many of, you know, candles would you like to see? Do you want it heavy in candles on the table? Do you want it lighter? Little nuances. Do you need a special wrap for the bouquet? Little things like that. So that takes us to the point for the episode today, is how I move through a consultation. Consultations either happen in person or on Zoom. We do offer both of those options. And the process is the same either way. First thing is to go over all preliminary information that was sent in. Then we kind of dive into things from like a step-by-step basis. Going over things like special requests for flower types, if there's anything. We usually, you know, won't promise that you'll have a specific variety of a specific type of, you know, XYZ, where my goal is to produce a look, to produce an aesthetic, a style. And we will get you there in that color palette that you're wanting to achieve that vibe. But we're not a cookie cutter cut and stick florist. So we have to work through that sometimes. Next is to kind of, you know, navigate, you know, how many bridesmaids, how many groomsmen are the things we need to know? What color are they wearing? How many additional boutonnieres do you need? How many wrist corsages? You know, things that are number oriented that I want to have be as accurate as possible for their proposal, so that they have a realistic ballpark a price point when they receive that from us. Then we kind of move into ceremony space. You know, figuring out, you know, what kind of altar space are they looking for? Do they need rentals? Do they need structures to build off of? We do have quite a bit of rental inventory on site here. So we have all the different style arches, you know, rectangles, garden style, moon gates, triangles, nesting triangles, copper arches, you know, all of the above. We have that. So this meeting is our time for us to figure out, you know, do you need that in addition to the floral or just the floral? Are we doing aisle floral? How many, you know, what would you like to see? Are you open to suggestions? Things like that. Once that's complete, then we will work into ceremonies or reception space, and then end of night, you know, kind of like protocol, what happens. Reception space is very much kind of along that same path of train of thought. You know, are there specifics you want to see? What are you envisioning for, you know, head table? Are you doing a sweetheart table, flanking head tables, king's table, you know, full long tables? Is there a linen? Is there not a linen? Round tables? Do you need ideas for decor? All of those things mash up and come to point in those meetings. So that's how we kind of navigate that. In addition to, you know, starting to discuss these details, we're going to cover, you know, rain plan. In case, you know, it rains and you're having an outdoor ceremony, what's the plan? Are we going through? Are we not getting married in the rain? Or should we, you know, plan and prepare for these things to be moved into an indoor space? All of that is very important information. Do we have a time set for when ceremony is starting? Do you know when your photographer is going to start shooting? Because I need to make sure that we have, bouquets there for when that is happening, so that we can have, behind the scenes photos of you getting ready with your flowers, and we can get photos of the delivery, etc. So that is important as well. And once we've kind of wrapped up that exchange of information, and we've figured out, here's our game plan, then it comes time for me to prepare that proposal. And again, we're doing that through HoneyBook. So I'm able to compile a proposal that has inspiration photos, item descriptions, pricing. Delivery is built into the proposal plan as well. And then they're also able to see our contract, and payment plan as well. We do offer the ability to edit and adjust payment plan. Traditionally or typically, our payment plan is two payments, one to reserve your spot and one to that is due 45 days before your wedding. We can make as many adjustments and changes as we need to. And I usually check in 30 to 45 days prior to the wedding, to really go over things one last time. See if there's any, edits in table quantities, boutonniere quantities, things like that. Just make sure that we're all squared away on the same page for day of production. And then we can, once edits are made, they make their first payment, they sign their contract, and then spots reserved. And we're good to go. And that's the process that we do for literally every single client that we take on for weddings. And that's the process. Pretty cut and dry. So there you go. That's how we do it. Next episode, which will be hitting here shortly, is selling to wholesalers. It's a treat. I can tell you that. And we will cover that next. So, thanks for being here, and I will talk to you soon. Bye.